Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
I am coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good things and the not so brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We're reclaiming stewardship, but God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Give us a call and we will chat. All right, let's go to the phones. We have Garrett on the phone from Raleigh, North Carolina. Garrett, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I am very grateful. How can I help you?
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to just say how thankful I am that you're doing this ministry. It's an absolutely wonderful thing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. So I have two questions. One should be relatively simple. I just finished, I don't know the baby steps by heart, but I think I just finished baby step three. I put 3 months of expenses plus the initial $1,000 in a money market account at my local bank. Now, like everybody knows, money market accounts at your local bank have terrible interest rates.
Yes.
And I know that the baby steps on Dave Ramsey's website says that it's not an investment, so don't focus on it like that.
Yeah.
But would it be wiser for me to move that money to an online money market account that has better rates?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, as long as it's in a money market and you can get to it, that's fine. How much money is it?
Well, right now it's $3,100.
Okay, so $3,100. If you do the 1% difference or maybe a half a percent difference over 3 years, you're talking maybe a cheeseburger. So, the key thing is making sure that you've got access to the money. So there's your first answer. What else do you have for me?
Okay, my second question is I just actually put $300 down on a engagement ring for my girlfriend.
Congratulations.
And I'm hoping to... Thank you. I'm hoping to propose somewhere in fall.
Okay.
But with that being said, my girlfriend's mother wants to pay for the wedding because that's tradition, I guess. But I also don't want to assume that she's going to pay for it just to be safe so I know that I can afford it if worse comes to worse.
Yeah.
Just in general, though, I've never really had to save up and budget and such since I got on Dave Ramsey's plan for something big.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how to. So how would I go about saving up for the remainder of the ring, for the honeymoon, for the wedding, for everything that goes along with getting married?
Yeah, well, good question. Well, so you've done baby step 1, 2, and 3, which means you're out of debt and you've got 3 to 6 months saved. And so from here on out, you got to start thinking about long-term. So baby step 4 would be to start saving 15% towards long-term investing. And so you want to do that. But as, regarding this wedding, you want to budget for it. And then you use the word. You use the word budget, and that's the key. You got to put a goal on the refrigerator. What is the goal? How much money do you need? So if you're looking for $5,000, are you looking for $10,000, are you looking for $6,000, whatever it is, put that number on the refrigerator. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on the inside cover of your journal. Put it on your Bible. Put it everywhere that you're going to look. Put it on the corner of your TV. Wherever you're going to look, and then you know where the goal is, you know the date, and then just create benchmarks. Okay, so if I want $5,000 in 2 years, well, then I need to have $2,500 in 1 year. And so then you break it down, and I need to save about, you know, whatever it is, $200 a month. And kind of break it down, have some fun with it, celebrate along the way. But that's the big key. You got to have a budget, you got to have a plan, you got to have a goal, and it's got to be visible. And so that's what I would do. I would include her on it too. Once you've done the proposal, bring her in on it and use this whole going towards it as a way to grow closer together. So you're going to have to obviously make a little bit more money if you want to continue to do baby step 4 at the same time and think about your long term as well. But you're going to have to shave some spending. Don't overspend on the wedding either. So just know that what makes a great wedding is not necessarily the amount of money spent. You can get creative. So I would just encourage you in that. But I love the diligence. I love that you're looking towards the future. Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands will bring wealth. And so you're on the right track. And you know what else I'm going to do for you, Garrett? I'm just going to give you Total Money Makeover. You need that book. It's an amazing, amazing book. Almost 5 million copies sold. 200 straight weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. It is the financial book for you. And I know you're familiar with the baby steps, but I want to give it to you. Unless you already have it. Do you already have it?
Yeah. I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, that's fine.
I already bought it.
That's great. Have you ever been to Financial Peace University?
I haven't, no.
Okay, well, I want to give you that. I'll give you that. So this is you got multiple things I can throw your way, but I want to give you the Financial Peace University, and I want you guys to go through it together as soon as you do that proposal.
Okay.
So that'd be the best thing you can do for your marriage is to do that before you even get started. Don't combine your finances, but go through Financial Peace University before you start.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to hang up in a minute, and Amanda, our great, amazing call screener, is going to get your address, and we're going to throw this your way free of charge.
Hey, thanks so much, Chris. I really do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Garrett. Our next call comes in from Rebecca. She's in Oklahoma City. Rebecca, how you doing?
Hi, Chris. I'm well. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I'm honored.
My question is regarding, and it's an estate question. My father passed away last November, and I am co-trustee with a bank here in Oklahoma. And my dad had some credit card debt, about somewhere between $10,000 to $15,000, that he has really carried for years and years and years. And I am wondering if, as a co-trustee, if I'm in any kind of a position to negotiate that debt.
Did he have any other debt besides the credit cards?
Yes, he has some tax debt, which is not as much as I had thought, but it is about $7,000.
Okay.
And he owes a lot of people money.
Typically, when the credit card side, they can't come after you for that credit card debt. They can file kind of a claim against the estate. Did he leave any assets?
Well, he does have a piece of property that will be going up for sale, and it should hopefully bring enough to cover some of these things. But with the credit cards, you know, because he's paid on it for so long, so I was kind of wondering if maybe that was something that I could get knocked down.
I wouldn't do anything with the credit cards yet. You are in a position to do the negotiating. However, I would make sure you take care of the tax situation first. That's one where, you know, there's, you know, definitely they have a lot more grounds to come after you on the tax part first. Make sure you take care of the 7K first before you get into the credit card stuff.
Right. Okay.
But in most states, they're only going to go, he's the only one responsible for the credit cards, unless he somehow was involved in those credit cards in some kind of joint account with somebody else. So I would pull a credit report as soon as possible. When you go to negotiate with the credit card company, though, you're going to want to make sure you provide them with a death certificate and provide them with the main contact for the estate so that they don't just aimlessly start doing a bunch of phone calls. You're proactively communicating with them. So you kind of get everything clear before it starts getting muddy and starts getting messy.
Right.
So I would do that first. But take care of the taxes first and then kind of go from there.
Is that something that could be possible for me to negotiate? Is that something they'll do?
Yeah, just tell them the situation. You will get further faster. The Bible talks about a soft answer turns away wrath. If you're good, good, positive, enthusiastic voice on the phone like you are with me, and you're proactive, and you're, I want to do the right thing, and you just, they'll be shocked. They don't get that very often. So if you shock the mess out of them with that, but there is a way you could be a little too proactive and start going too fast now, and then be like, well, shoot. Well, she's willing to pay the whole thing. So just find that line.
Okay.
You don't want to just say, hey, listen, I'm begging to give you 15 grand. You know, there's a land in between. So.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Got an email here from Zach. This email says, I'm 45 years old. I don't have savings. I have debt and am building my $1,000 emergency fund. With me being the age that I am, should I build my emergency fund, get out of debt, and not save until I get out of debt? Am I too old? I'm afraid that I'm going to retire in poverty. I would say get out of debt first. Yes, get out of debt first. You can't start running until you get the handcuffs or get the ankle weights off of your ankles. You can't run while you've got all this baggage around you. So you got a Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower is enslaved to the lender, and you can't run towards the prize if you are weighed down and you are enslaved. So that will, once you've paid it off, that will accelerate your saving process. And that's what comes next. Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. And that's what you'll be doing next. But get the debt out of your life first. And I will affirm that you do have some catching up to do. So make sure that you budget. Make sure you're on a budget. And that way, it'll almost be like getting a raise. You'll find that you'll have more money to save and to pay off debt. And you'll see the money that's kind of falling out of your pockets as you live life every day. Folks, if you're not on a budget, that is crazy. If you're not on a budget, you need to be. And if it's just because of the process, if it's just because you don't know the right software or you're afraid of Excel spreadsheets or it just seems like it's a horrible process, simplify it. First of all, you don't need to be on an Excel spreadsheet. You can go to everydollar.com for a free software. So go there and then make your budget super simple. Put only four or five categories, but at least get started. Get familiar with the software. You put it down to housing, transportation, food, clothing, and maybe insurance. Just make it run. And then the rest can be miscellaneous if you want to start off slow. And then kind of build it from there. But you need to know where every dollar is going. Our next caller is Ron calling in from Arizona. Ron, how you doing?
Well, I'm fine, and thank you for taking my call. First-time caller, second-time listener, and I had a question I wanted to ask you about my future.
Okay.
I am 54 years old, recently married for the first time, own my own home in that it is an RV, have no bills going out except for direct costs, $399 a month. I make $80,000, and to this day, I haven't saved a penny. No savings, nothing. I'd like to know where to put my money and why I should put it there and what the growth might be if I were to follow this plan.
Yeah, good questions. Do you have any kind of debt?
None whatsoever.
All right, so no credit cards in the house?
None.
Good, very good. All right. Well, first thing I was going to say is you had credit cards and say, cut them up and stay there. Stay out of debt. Do you have, you said no savings. First and foremost, your first goal needs to be to get 3 to 6 months saved, to get that and put it into a money market account, which means that it's available. It's pretty much a glorified savings account that gets you a fraction of a percent more interest, but still stays accessible. So the reason why you want to have that is so you don't go back into, you don't go into debt. You don't, something happens in your life and you don't have money on hand, you're going to have to borrow. And so we don't want that to happen. After you've done that and you've saved 3 to 6 months in a money market account, you want to put 15% towards retirement, towards Roth IRA. Roth IRA would be your best instrument. And then after that, you want to go into long-term mutual funds. But that would be the strategy. It'd be 3 to 6 months saved in a money market account. And there's not a whole lot of strategy there from a standpoint of return. It's not really an investment. It's actually insurance. You're being self-insured in case something happens. Then after that, the reason why a Roth IRA is the best instrument is because of the tax savings and because of the performance. So you can expect anywhere from like 2013, there was 31% return. There's been some years where there's zero return, but it's a long-term instrument and your goal is to average anywhere from 8 to 12%. Which is better than you can do at any kind of CD, money market account, savings account, any of this. You want to make sure that you're well above the inflation rate. And then long-term mutual funds are the same thing. They're diversified, so all your eggs aren't in one basket. And long-term, they have a historical they have history that they've performed very well for a long period of time. So if you're once you get that savings down, you're ready to go on that.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it. It's been so, it's instant gratification, spending money, and I'd like to, at some point, be able to retire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not alone. You know, there's a lot of great things to experience out there and to purchase. And there's lots of really fancy advertisements that kind of trap us all. We just got to have a game plan. And that's what you're doing. You're calling here, getting a game plan so that you can be armed and ready and have a budget in place. You want to have that so that you don't fall victim to all those impulses. So we do have, Ron, we do have endorsed local providers that are at stewardship.com, and they can help you with all that investing once you get there. But again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, I want to make sure that you're aware of this. It says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And that scripture tells us, hey, if we want to have a great retirement, if we want to be in a great position in the future, well, we've got to sow now. And that's what you're feeling in your spirit. So you're on the right track and you're going to be just fine. All right.
Well, thank you very much, Chris.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, we're talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy to follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class, as a home study, or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or you can call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Next, we have Rodney on the line. He's calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. Rodney, how you doing?
Hey, not bad at all. How about yourself?
I'm very grateful.
Awesome. My wife and I, we just started the Total Money Makeover, and we're about a month in. And my question was, she's a stay-at-home mom. My current salary is just about $50,000, and I've been contributing 8% to my 401k. And now that we're on baby step two, I'm just curious, should I stop contributing to that until we're completely out, or is it okay to continue to contribute to that?
Well, congratulations on being on baby step two just a month in. That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
Imagine if they all went that fast.
I know, right? It'd be awesome.
Oh, so what caused the interest to pick up the book?
We have been trying to get things together. We've been doing some studying in the Word just at our church and talking to our pastor and really just trying to align every facet of our life up. And, you know, I was talking to a buddy at my job and just telling him, you know, I really want to start learning how to think about money differently. And he recommended Dave Ramsey. So I started to look on YouTube and just reading a bunch or listening to a bunch of his, they're called rants on YouTube. So that's what I'm going to say they are.
Yeah, that's what they are.
So I was looking at a bunch of those, and then I'd gone to the website and just read a little bit on the book, and then I was like, all right. So we went to Barnes & Noble, picked it up, and just been going through it since then.
That's cool, Rodney.
Yeah.
Should you keep contributing 8% towards your 401k at this season in your journey while you're paying off debt? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
You should not continue. You should stop it. And focus all your attention towards that debt and get out of debt. And then your next step would be to save up 3 to 6 months of emergency fund so that you never go back in debt again. And then you can start talking about retirement. Proverbs 22:7 says the borrower is enslaved to the lender. And of course, that's our warning against debt.
Yeah.
There's also a scripture in there, Proverbs 21:20, that says in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. And that tells us, man, that savings is a wise thing to do also. And then you have Proverbs 13:22 that says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So you've got saving in there, you've got debt in there, you've got inheritance and investing and retirement in there. So it's all in the Bible.
Yeah.
But what you've got to focus on, Rodney, is you got to remove the risk out of your life first. You got to remove the ski clothes. You got like, you know, four ski coats on, and you're about to run a marathon. This financial journey is going to be the rest of your adult life. And well, you don't want to run a marathon with a bunch of ski clothes on. So you got to get the right clothes on first, get all that baggage off of you, and then you can get running instead of walking. So that's your plan of action. Stop the retirement and focus in on that debt, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much, Rodney. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was a cool call. And did you hear Rodney's his tone? It was just a fun tone. And he's got some debt in his life, but man, he's not overwhelmed by it. He's concerned, but not worried. And I love that. Love that tone. Our next call comes from Los Angeles, California. This is Irene. Irene, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. How can I serve you?
Okay, well, little scenario I'll give you here. I just retired 3 weeks ago.
Congrats.
Thank you.
At the age of 38, I'm assuming?
No. No, I'm 70 years old, and I just retired.
Oh, 70 years young.
Yes. And my question, my dilemma is right now that I drastically reduced my, of course, my income. Mm-hmm. Drastically by probably over $2,200.
Okay.
I do have a savings of about $150,000 saved up.
Okay.
I owe $73,000 on my home. And my question is, should I just pay it off and save myself the $2,200 interest that I pay, which is nothing really, but still it's $200 more.
Yeah,
adding my monthly income. So that is my question. I've been fighting with this. Should I or shouldn't I? It's in the bank, and I'm very frugal. I've saved best I can because I made some very bad investments in 2007 when the market went down.
Me too.
So, yes. So right now I'm still paying on it. I had purchased a home and another home, and it just I had to sell it for practically nothing.
Yeah. What's the value of your primary home?
$450,000, $460,000.
Pay off the home. Pay off the home ASAP, fast.
Thank you.
That leaves $77,000 in your savings account. So you're sitting good there. That's way more than 3 to 6 months of your. How much is going to be your new retirement income per year?
My new retirement income is going to be $26,616.
All right. And do you think you can live under that?
I'm sure I can. It's going to be, you know, it's not going to be the same as making what I was making
close
to $60,000, $65,000 a year.
Okay. Here's why I feel comfortable you doing this. You're going to leave $77,000 in your savings account. You're going to have $450,000 in equity in your home that if you needed it, you have that there. You also have your $26,000 to live off of every year. And another thing to think about is possibly downsizing your home right now while you have the energy. You know, that might be hard to do in 10 years, in 15 years. So maybe just downsize your home, maybe now or later, but just something to think about. And I'll leave you with one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It's your race. You see, you're going into a season now where your race is going to look a little different. And the Bible says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. And I just want to tell you, Irene, that your running is not over. It's going to look different, but how you bring glory to God's name and how you honor him with your life, it's going to look different. But don't stop running, okay?
Thank you so very much. Thank you. I need those encouraging words. And God bless you. And I want to do some voluntary work at the church also.
I love it.
Thank you so very much, Chris. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're here as a free service. But in order to be able to continue, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show. Number two, check out stewardship.com. And for you podcast listeners, would you consider leaving a review on iTunes? It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Again, that's at Chris Brown On Air. on air. Today, we've been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.